Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. I think I want to talk a little bit about this TPP situation. It's been in the news somewhat, not enough in my opinion. It's been made a lot of to-do about how the administration and those proponents in Congress have lost a battle and how this is being sold as something that's great for the country. And anybody who's against it is somehow standing in the way of progress or basically want to do something personal to have the president be defeated. But not many people talk about what's in this thing. This is exactly like Obamacare in the sense that nobody read the bill. We don't know who crafted it, but I could pretty much tell you it's not in the interest of our country, and it means that we're giving up our sovereignty. This is putting us into a huge Asian union, which is very similar to the European Union. And if you think about this, you know, for a second, we had, I don't know if we still do, I don't think we do, had the number one economy in the whole world. We were the place that people wanted to come in order to improve their lot in life. And the opportunity was what made our country what it was. And I say was purposefully, because I don't believe it is what it was. It's going down the tubes, and this is going to hasten the circling of the drain, in my opinion. And it doesn't matter what you do for a living or what you whether you're a small business owner, whether you are an employee of a small business, this is against all of us. This is not about entrepreneurship. It's about corporatism, which has taken over like a slow mission creep in every aspect of our society. Just because you're big doesn't make you better. I mean, I think we should learn this by now. It's happened in the hospital or in the medical segment of our society. A sixth of our economy runs through the healthcare system, and it's running. It's a disaster. I don't care if you want this bill or you want this law, you're happy about it. You cannot be happy about over $2.86 billion missing from the subsidy. They can't account for the subsidies that they've spent under Obamacare. They don't even know where the money went. That money could be used for providing health care to people, seniors, the impoverished, people who really need help. Have less resources because this money has gone to some black hole. You know, this is just ridiculous. The fact that they passed that bill without anybody reading it, for Nancy Pelosi to say you have to pass it to know what's in it, is sacrilege. It doesn't even make sense for a congressperson to say something like that when their whole job is to craft legislation and everybody knows what's in it in order to make a decision whether it gets passed or not. You just abrogated your entire duty as a congressperson who represents people in your constituency. For you to say, I didn't read it, I don't know what's in it, but I'm going to vote along party lines, or not, in this case, not even party lines, which is my favorite. Do you know the consortium that got together to torpedo this thing, Dave? Do you know who was in it? It was Democrats, Libertarians, and a few Republicans. I would never think in a million years that Libertarians and Democrats would get together and vote for anything. But those are patriots. And I have to give Nancy Pelosi props. We talk a lot about her. She's done some bad stuff up there. But this one was a win. And it may have been for a different reason than what the Libertarians voted for. I don't know. But the bottom line is she voted against. And thank you, John Lewis, for voting against this. This ultimately means that some foreign corporation can decide that our laws are null and void if it works against their interest. And they've used examples which really make you nauseous. So if some multinational corporation decides that the environmental rules in our country work against their interest, their profit, then they just get to ignore what the EPA, not that they're great, but the point is we have our own laws, right? So they get to decide that, hey, it's too much work, it's not right, it's not fair. I love the F word. And so it just gets null and void. Just disregard what our particular rules, laws are in our country. And imagine how this goes down the line. Second Amendment, anybody? So they've been talking for years and years in the UN about disarming all countries. Let me tell you how bad it is in the UK. You cannot protect yourself in your own home. If somebody home invades you, you shoot them, and they're in your property, they want to do you harm, you are held accountable. You don't have the right to protect your person or your property there. What are you, just a sitting duck? You just get to have someone just roll over into your house, do what they will, and you're the one that can go to jail if you hurt them. Are you kidding me? That's what it's like. That's what they want to do to us in the United States. And when you have don't even have the ability to protect your own life and limb in your own home, then what is the point? You are just a sitting duck, a victim waiting to happen. Your boundaries, your property means nothing. That doesn't even make sense. It's totally ridiculous.
And you get a fine if you because you had a gun.
That you know, you go to jail. You know, then you don't even get a fine. You go to jail. I mean, that's retarded. It doesn't even make sense. Those are the kind of laws that they want to pass that mean that there's some bigger entity that controls you from cradle to grave. And they're trying to, ours is the only country that will allow you to protect your family. If someone wants to hurt you and the police aren't around, the government can't help you, you can help yourself. That's your last stand. What happens when you lose that? That's not only the only thing that we're talking about. We're talking about health care, right? They want to be able to control our Medicare. They want to be able to control whether or not generics are even allowed to be sold in our country. You know, these are multinational corporations. They stand to gain as we buy prescription drugs, as we buy anything that's brand name. You know, they don't make money from the generics. They make money from the brand. Oh, now they continue. I don't know. It's kind of changing because now the generics have become so expensive. I think they're making money on either end of this thing. But the bottom line is, if it's brand, it's definitely more money than generic. And it has to go through the multinational corporation, you know, pharmaceutical corporation, not some generic in India or company in India or Mexico or something like that. They just want the money. They want no competition. And this is a way to make it law. Make it international law. International law. We don't even have boundaries. You know how much the United States has sold to and that no longer belongs to us in some form or other? The government has seized land and becomes you know, federal property. They have the biggest land owner in the country. Then you have the UN making things, you know, UNESCO sites and protected sites. That's another way to take your resources. I wonder how much of the government land has oil, coal, all sorts of natural resources on it that no private person can no longer buy or have, or, you know, it's just confiscating wealth.
How about our uranium that they're...
Anything that's of value, the government seems to have Pac-Maned it. And if they don't have it, then the UN has made it a protected thing. You know, we have this global warming and sustainability. Sustainability essentially means you just lost yours. Yeah, it's just, yeah, you no longer can sustain your wealth or your freedom or your individuality. That's what sustainability means. It's gone from you, okay? So imagine your doctor is trying to take care of you in this system. We talk about it every week, but this is a bigger picture. And you now have a bigger foot on the neck of the physician, you know, of the healthcare provider, if that's a PA or a nurse practitioner or whomever. They're not taking care of you anymore. They're working for a corporation who's all about making money in the guise of helping you. And that, I've said it before, it's a one-way ticket at one point to a hospice somewhere. You're not going to get your hip replacement, your knee replacement, your cataract surgery, things that could help you be productive and viable till you're a senior. These are not expensive ticket items, but they make a big difference on your quality of life. If you can't walk and you can't see, what the hell? What do you know? You can't even enjoy yourself. You've worked. This is slave mentality. You work until you can work no more, and then they just pull the rug out from underneath you. I don't care if you're a millennial or X-gen or whatever they call these people now. Do you really want your society to work that way? Is it right that people who supported you at some point, I'm sure, your parent, your grandparent, seniors in this country have helped build it, that they finally get a chance to sit back and rest on their laurels to reap what they sow? And people are being given the mindset of they don't deserve it. You know, you should just work until you drop and then you should just go away. That doesn't even make sense. The way you treat your seniors and your children and your impoverished people in your country speaks a lot for the country. If you can't take care of those folks, then who wants to live in a country like that where it's just all about me and it's all about what I can get? And to top it off, I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. You owe me it. It doesn't even make sense. So another part of the TPP is immigration, which we've already seen. You can have anybody and their mother just come into your country, and they're trying to mandate in European Union that you have to let more people in. You have to give them social services. What do you think is going to happen if you have an open-door policy when you get everything you want, education, clothing, healthcare, housing, and someone's giving you a check to sit on your butt? What do you think is going to happen? You're going to have an influx, an onslaught of people who come into your country. And I have nothing bad to say about immigration when it's appropriate. But these are people who are going to overrun the system, overwhelm the system. There won't be enough people to pay for this. And it's going to be an absolute hellhole, a violent hellhole at that. This is not this is common sense. This is critical thinking 101. If you think that you bring in hundreds of thousands of people who don't speak your language, who don't share your cultural values, who hate you, want to take over your system by any means necessary, what do you think is going to happen down the road? This is not rocket science. But what they want to do is take the number one country, which we're sliding, I don't know if we are anymore, and bring us down to the level of everybody else. I've said this in the healthcare system. That's what socialized medicine is. It's taking our fee-for-service, individualized healthcare and dumbing it down to a one-size-fits-all conveyor belt mentality where if you don't have money, you basically you're not getting any care. And if you do have means, you get to opt out of the system. For those who think that universal healthcare is awesome, just remember the people who are in it get the lowest common denominator of everything, the doctor, the hospital, the services, what's offered as health, you know, choices, the lowest common denominator, not the best. It's never going to be the best. You have to pay for that. And the people who keep telling you, this is what makes me so riled up. These people running for presidency, getting on stage and talking about how they love the middle class and how they're against the hedge fund people while they're up in Bilderberg and taking money from Wall Street. They are their minion. Their whole point is to shut you up and to make you think that they love you. They don't. I mean, how many times can you see them tell you one thing, get in there like the Republicans and vote a different way against your interests, against what they stand for, and with absolutely no conscience about it? We're just done with it. How many times are we going to sit here and vote for these people? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We just have the best conversations when we're off the air. But, you know, speaking once again about the presidential election coming up and the people running in it, this is all, it's kabuki theater. You know, they're all run by something else. We've got the Clinton Foundation, where you have millions upon millions, well, we don't even know how many millions of dollars from foreign investors, foreign governments, foreign interests that poured money into their little fiefdom, right? They don't even declare taxes on that. I mean, you can go down the list on these people. Then you've got Marco Rubio, who basically was impoverished, lived well above his means, his wife getting tickets upon, it's character. And when there's some rich minion, or I should say rich godfather, in Florida, who basically bankrolled him. You know, if whoever holds the purse strings has the power. That is the mantra of the show. You have to watch, follow the money, see where this money's coming from, and you better believe that these people coming into power are going to have to pay back a favor. This is how it works. It's all about leverage. You know, watch some of these shows on Netflix, you get it. You know, between Game of Thrones, between House of Cards, Wentworth, I don't care what the show is. It all works on the same mentality. If you do me a favor, you owe me. If I give you something, you got to pay me back. And all these people are owed, they owe somebody something. You know, Marco Rubio owes Bush when he was governor. He was pretty tight with him. But are they really running against each other? I mean, really? You know, you have to think about these things. Then yeah, I like Scott Walker. I thought he was pretty good until he said he was for the TPP. Really? So who's bankrolling you? I thought you were against. I know that you don't want unions, you know, strong-arming you in your city and in your state. But this goes beyond you. You talk about destroying unions. If you have Chinese slave labor and other third world slave labor trying to enter our economic system, there is no union. And whether you're for them or against them, they still employ Americans. And if these guys lose their economic foothold, they lost a job. You know, this is not about. There's no patriotism anymore within the corporations. They're thinking about how I can open up the market in China. And this is going to freak you out. I was listening to a show the other night, and it turns out that any American corporation that's gone to do business in China has to give them their intellectual property. So we don't even own our intellectual property. And Boeing, GM, none of those people who go over, are you insane? You're just going to sell your what makes you, your intellectual property to China to do business? Are you that desperate to do business in a country where you undercut yourself? As soon as they make a cheaper iteration of what you make, and they do it constantly, it's what they're good at it, at copying and making it cheaper, but what they make is not as good. There's never anything I bought from China, maybe one thing, that actually lasted, that didn't break, you know, that did what it said. I paid a great price for it, but you get what you pay for. That's the same thing with us as consumers. We built up Walmart based on cheap crap that they sold. Now it's starting to move away from China to Bangladesh and to other parts of Vietnam, but it's still the same principle. There are no, remember when you were a kid, the union label, was it the ILG, whatever, I forget what the thing is, because there was just a song that used to go with it. And you'd see our workers with pride making things.
Made in the U.S.?
Made in the U.S. You don't see that anymore. And if you do, the only thing I know that for sure is a bowling ball. Those are made in the United States.
Well, no, I've never bought any of them, but the car mats that advertise a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one that fits, right.
They taunt the fact that they're made in the USA, and I'm like you. I totally support.
You have to. It helps us to support ourselves. I mean, this is a system that's so bankrupt. It cannot sustain itself. If all the corporations took all the power, removed all the entrepreneurs, got rid of the small businesses, you have no one to buy your goods. I mean, don't you get that? If you don't have a viable, sustainable, I hate that word, but a viable economy where people are employed and have disposable income to spend, whatever you make, they can't buy. What are you going to do, subsidize you buying a car now or whatever it is? You know, food, is that going to be subsidized down the road? This is the problem. It's greed unbound. It is demonizing and using neurolinguistic programming, like we talked about before. It's the opposite of what you say. You know, it's not about fairness. It's about inequality. And it's cronyism, where you have your friends and your corporate, lobbyists, the power brokers, setting up a system where they win. They win, you win. You lose, they win. It's like a casino. But the house is rigged. And anybody who goes in there who's taking lobbyist money, who's taking money from foreign governments, who is not their own person, because they don't have the means to do it, then they're going to eventually, you know, vote in favor of something that's against our interest. That's what I think is going on in Congress right now. There is no Republican who calls themselves a conservative who should be voting for the TPP. And there's no congressperson at all, ever, who should vote for anything we don't know what's in it. And this is Obamacare is bad enough. That only affected us technically. But this affects every single part of our system. Just imagine how the UN is going to put their foot in everything that we do. Just mandatory vaccines, anybody? Population control? You know, this is all about a centralization of everything that runs our country. Sovereignty gone. Constitution null and void. If it runs up against something that the bigger piece or the global government wants, and that means the UN, the World Health Organization, that means the banking system, these are all entities that have encroached into our sovereignty. And we've had a bunch of, you know, I'm not even going to say apologists. We've had people who are traitors taking a cut, thinking that they're special, running our government into the ground, and they got something for this. They got power. They got reelected. They got something for it. And everybody else be damned. That's how they think. Or that we're too stupid to run our own country, that we don't deserve to live. They don't want us to live. This is beyond just race. This is beyond sexism. Everything that they've done or tried to hype in the last 6 to 8 years is a means to an end. If you're always fighting amongst yourselves, if it's always about some other victim group getting a freebie or getting a leg up, they all think of us the same way. If you're not part of the 1%, global 1%, You are peon. You're just a means to an end. You're a useless eater or someone who needs to buy their goods or take their medications. That's all they care about. They don't care about you. I mean, the fact that our middle class is dying, literally dying, without anybody standing up for it. This is how bad they think about, this is what they think about small business. Under this TPP, you know, you have a corporation. Lots of people have a corporation in this country. We don't necessarily pay our taxes on time because you have to wait for all of your, you know, you've got to get kind of set. So you end up paying it late at the end of the year before the last deadline. Well, if you don't pay it on the first March 15th deadline, you get fined under this bill. You know how many people will be put out of business, small business, if you raise the tax in terms of that on small business? You know how many people, of small business actually employs? We're the biggest employer in this country. You would think, they make you think it's the multinational corporations. They don't employ half as much as a small business owner does. You know, your three patients, I'm sorry, your three employees here, your four there, your 10 there, totally supersedes a couple of thousand or maybe 1,400 or 14,000 from some multinational corporation. I mean, really, we've just been sold a bill of goods. We need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
We should have stopped drinking the Kool-Aid back in the 60s. I remember just thinking about what's happened, and you go back in history, and it's happening in our government today as government workers. I can remember, do you remember union strikes, auto union strikes?
A couple.
Well, it was big time in the late 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. when the unions were AFL-CIO.
Yeah, it was big. Teamsters, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Teamsters Union and all this, and they had taken over GMC and American Motors and all the rest. And I was just thinking as you were talking, what they did is exactly what the government is doing that can't be sustained. You can't do this. You can't. And I thought this, I was a kid, and they were making promises, if you'll keep coming back to work and putting, screwing that nut on the bolt, we'll pay you your salary. After you retire, we'll pay you your salary. We'll give you these benefits. We'll do all of this. And it was really a lie then, and it still is a lie. It's a lie in government.
Well, instead of the unions, that's an excellent point, Dave, because now they're all these people who've retired, they're paying all their health care benefits. The health care benefits have gone through the roof, yet they still have. I mean, this is not only union, this is local governments.
Oh, yeah.
Right, this is throughout the entire system, because you've had people negotiate, strong-arm negotiation that were really just unrealistic and unfair and unsustainable. Now you reap what you sow. You want to have more people on the payroll after retirement than you have actual workers. What do you think is going to happen? You know, think of down the road, not just to make someone happy up front, but down the road. It's the same thing with Obamacare. You promise people free health care, subsidized health care. You can keep your doctor. It's going to be cheaper. You can have anything you want. They just did that to get this thing passed. They'll say whatever they need to say to get you to fall in line. Common Core is fabulous. No Child Left Behind. I'm telling you guys, whenever you see a bill and it's named, trust and believe. It's the opposite of what the end result will be, the opposite of what the bill says. Leave No Child Left Behind. These are the dumbest kids I've ever had to deal with. They can't read. They don't have critical thinking skills. They don't care. It's all about them. Everybody be surprised. There's one school, everybody was a valedictorian. I mean, are you really? Come on, man. This is just mediocrity institutionalized with narcissism layered on top of it. It's a bad combination.
Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, that too. Well, they're raising it 50% on Blue Cross Blue Shield, 50% raise on the premiums. They've been raising them right along, and they're raising them in a way that you may not see. Maybe it's not, for some people, it's not a raise in the actual premium, but it's the fact that you can't see the doctor. That's a raise. Or it's the fact that your out-of-pocket is so crazy you can't even get a lab test done. That's a raise. Or the doctor doesn't get paid for what they do. It takes another important piece out of the healthcare pie. You can't run it without, I don't care what anybody says, you cannot run it without quality doctors in it. Otherwise, it's a hellhole. I mean, this is just like, that's the mantra. Everything's moving towards being a hellhole. Whether it's a government, something that we buy, things that we eat, it's just the lowest common denominator. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this is like some sort of onion you just keep peeling and you just keep crying the more you peel, you know? And we were talking about immigration. I mean, it's about the money. So you have all of these Chamber of Commerce people. I mean, they're not interested in giving American jobs. They want immigrants to come in so they can not be unionized, so they can, you know, pay them as little as possible. Because they're desperate. They want a desperate population. And when these guys come in, I mean, this is, oh my God. I mean, the list of things that happened this past, and I think it's still happening. I don't think it's over. As a matter of fact, I think the number one immigrant coming in now is no longer Mexican, it's Chinese. That's what I heard. So we have all these folks coming in who don't share our values as democratic, you know, individualized, pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. It's all about the government can help me. The government's going to give me something. I deserve it. I don't have to work for it. And imagine when that clashes with the people who already are in our country, citizens for generations who are in environments where they've never had a chance. They don't have jobs coming to the hood, quote unquote. There's violence that runs the entire. It's gang driven. It's just, it's awful situation. And you have somebody come in for, you know, a week and they jump up ahead of them. How is that going to play out down the road? These guys aren't going to be living in Beverly Hills. They're going to be living in working class, you know, situations. And there's going to be a culture class. We just haven't seen it yet. We have seen it, though, from a medical standpoint, where you have people coming in with the multi-resistant TB. Remember that lady? You know, she's like Typhoid Mary, just traveling through the country. God knows, you know, and I don't know if infecting, but indefinitely putting people at risk of infection. There's been an uptick of all sorts of infectious disease. And it's not, they don't put this on TV, but it's not the American citizens that are doing this. This is people who they never checked, who they just wanted a body to come into the country so they can get them signed up on the voter list and the voter registration, and they can be new Democratic voters. It makes me sick. Do you have to rig the system in order to win it? Do you have to prime the pump in this manner in order to win at all costs? What happens down the road? What happens when we have a system where there's more people not when right now we have so many people taking government assistance more than working, I think, or at least it's government, it's trending that way. You can't sustain a system when there's less people working than more people taking some sort of government handout. It doesn't work. And I don't care how much TV and selfies and drama that you want to start to stir up so people can ignore it. They won't stop ignoring it when they have nothing to eat and they have nowhere to live. Then they'll stop ignoring it. And we're going to be in a big world of trouble when that happens. But maybe that's what things like Jade Helm and all of these government buying millions of bullets mean? You know, you think about it down the long haul. They're preparing for violence, and they're putting it in place, their infrastructure in place to control it. I can't see it any other way. How do you see it?
Again, thinking as you're talking and listening to you, I got a question for you. I saw the other night some lady on television in Baltimore begging the police to come back into their area around the CVS and all of this, you know, because for some reason the police are sort of staying away because, you know, the police, right, wrong, or indifferent, they can't win.
No.
They can't win, period. And yet the people that have been, that threw the rocks at them are saying, come back. It's your job to be in here protecting us. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm not very smart, but I couldn't get a handle on, if I was a cop, what do you do? I mean,
you're human, and you're doing what you do is to take a step back and not be victimized. But you know what? I wonder if it was somebody who was in it or a citizen who happened to live in that environment who was victimized like the police are. I mean, there's a whole unspoken, unhyped group in these cities, Ferguson, the one in North Carolina, and there, where they just went into their home, shut their door, hope for the best. They get up and go to work and school every day, and it's a small percentage which are paid for by Media Matters and George Soros and Al Sharpton types who call out their, you know, flash mob, their minion, to go out there and act like knuckleheads. And Black Lives Don't Matter, it's a mantra, but those people who say it have no interest in Black lives. I mean, they're all about abortion and all sorts of things that work against us. Instead of, it's a meme. It's a way to stir up the pot. And these guys are paid insurgents, essentially. They show up, they bust some of these people in, Dave. They didn't even come from that area. They got bussed in.
Isn't this the exact same thing that's happening in medicine with Obamacare? We want it cheap, we don't want it, and the doctors are leaving.
Yeah.
And then when you go and you try to get a doctor and you say, wait a second, please come back and be my doctor. Well, I mean, it's mind-boggling thing going.
If you go to my Facebook page on Medicine on Call, there's a picture of a doctor, an ER doctor. It's a very poignant picture. Apparently a patient that he was working on died. And you see him outside the ER on his knees, basically crying because he lost a patient. You will not get doctors like that in this system. They could care less. It's about algorithms. It's about getting your quota. Hey, this person is, after you're 70, you're on your own. Maybe even before, it's just going to keep creeping down until maybe you're 60, 50. But they don't care. They don't get trained. I mean, I'm writing a book right now. It should be done soon. And the beginning of my book talks about, it gives you the two Hippocratic oaths that are there. The one that we took back in as late as 1992, and the new version of the Hippocratic Oath. My Hippocratic Oath that I took says I cannot use abortifacients, I can't do abortion, and I can't do euthanasia. Those are the two things that are part of my Hippocratic Oath. They're gone in the second Hippocratic Oath. As a matter of fact, it says I may be called upon to, I'm paraphrasing, kill somebody, but I should keep that in mind, and I'm not acting like God, but I know that I have that right to do that. It's pro-euthanasia, and the doctor's acting as if they're God. If it becomes to me to have to kill a patient, then I'm going to do it with as much honor, basically, as possible. Come on. That's completely opposite to what being a doctor is. Do no harm. Be your patient's advocate. Make your patient as comfortable as possible. Treat them with respect and privacy.
What countries have the Hippocratic Oath or had?
That's a good question. Since we're in a global system, I'm not sure. You know, actually, I don't think UK does it anymore. They don't have it. I'm sure pretty much all the socialized countries don't have that as part of the Hippocratic Oath. But think about it. They're performing euthanasia in, what was it, the Netherlands? Sweden talks about aborting children, you know, or withdrawing care after they're born. You've got Canada, who has an NICU policy that you can just withhold care up to the child being 22 weeks old. This is a death culture. And if these children and these seniors and any human being who has a catastrophic illness is felt to be not viable, not worth the effort, they will not care for you anymore. This is counter to what we're used to as humans in our country. I think the socialized countries have just gone off the pale, but we haven't.
But even if you want to, the system's going to cut you off.
Oh, absolutely. And the doctor will be dinged for providing poor care, because whoever controls the purse strings controls the person. So the doctors have gone on staff and taken salaries from hospitals, whether they're in their private office and they've sold their practice to the hospital, or the hospital, after you graduate from residency, they set you up in a practice where they pay your overhead and your malpractice, and you can see your patient. They own you. They own you. And so your job is to make money for that entity. They tell you, I'm getting notes every day for ENT. Some place in Florida has no ENT coverage for literally miles. You'd be the only ENT in that situation. You'd be working your butt off. But ultimately, the person who hired you would say, you can't take vacation. You're not seeing enough patients. You're not doing enough procedures. Or you're doing too many, and it's costing. If you're putting too many people in the hospital, it's costing us money. This is all about money. They're making a good amount of money in these corporate hospitals. But you have to understand how they do it. They call consults that are unnecessary. I've been on the other end of these consults for going to a hospital bed to see if a patient has earwax. You ask the person who does the consult, did you look? No, I don't have an otoscope. That's what they do, but they get to charge for the ENT, the hospital gets to charge for the ENT consult. So you have consults, ridiculous, stupid consults with mindless consults, people calling them, not even talking to you, because the hospital just got this money-making scheme going on. Doesn't make the patient better, but it makes their bill a hell of a lot higher, and they're not getting better care. That's what corporate hospitals do. Remember, I forget the name of the corporation. It's one of the major ones. But they got dinged for having people come into the ER with chest pain and getting $1 million cardiac workup, no matter what. It may have been heartburn. It may have been gastritis. They all got a cardiac workup. And they got fined for it. That's what an algorithm is, people. When you walk into a hospital, you're getting vancomycin in case you have MRSA, whether or not you need it, before the culture's done. You get vaccinated at the ass, excuse my French, out the wazoo. They're vaccinating you 20, whether or not you need it, you're just getting your vaccines. They call a trillion consults specialists in without even making a diagnosis. And if you're really sick, you got a hospice consult before you know it too. And there you go, you're on palliative care service after they've gotten as much money as they can from you from the DRG point of view. You're going to get shifted into hospice so that, you know, you're out of their system. And next, you know, it's a conveyor belt. Any doctor who worth their salt, who cares about their patients and cares about what they do and loves what they do, will not be in that system. They just won't. And the only option I think that people have, it's not the only, but the most important option, is to make good choices about your health care. What you do in terms of your health, your wellness. You know, you cannot get away anymore with eating McDonald's, sitting on your butt, watching TV, and smoking a pack or two, and hope for the tummy tuck or the gastric bypass to get you out of the soup when you're in it. It's not going to work anymore. You need to make conscious choices, and part of them is to stop feeding this corporate beast. Get off the Monsanto crap, the GMO. Stop drinking things with high fructose corn syrup in them. They now make sodas that actually have sugar once again in glass bottles. Awesome. So you can get rid of the BPA, which feminizes people and causes estrogen overload. You can stop eating the high fructose corn syrup, which kills your liver because it's got things like, what's not in it? It's GMO corn. It's, I'm drawing a blank. It's not. There's a toxin within the processing of high fructose corn syrup because they put it in these vats. I can't remember. When we come back from the break, I'm going to remember what that is. But nothing about what we're eating is good for us at this point. Let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. It's mercury. That's what's in high fructose corn syrup. And it's because of the vats that they mix it in. It's the lining of it. It leaches into the concoction, and that's what ends up in the high fructose corn syrup. So, I mean, there's nothing artificial that we're eating in our diets that's helping us. Liver disease is out of control. Diabetes is out of control. I mean, you have young people with fatty liver that don't even drink that this is happening to. Between the aspartame and the high fructose corn syrup, and I will have a show about this because we really need to start doing things and learning how to opt out of this system, you know, and still enjoy what you eat. You don't have to sacrifice, you know, but you shouldn't at this point have these things as a majority of your diet. Once in a blue moon, yeah. But I can tell you, if you do it once in a blue moon, you'll feel really bad because you'll know, man, that didn't agree with me. If you never stop eating it, you don't know how bad you feel until you clean your system out. But this all comes back to corporate-driven everything. There's a new article out a couple days ago about how, and I said this before, I said it, I guess nobody believed me, but when you put in your information for these Obamacare exchanges, and you signed up or you put your information in to see what you could get from it, they kept it. This is all in the database, which will be kept forever. They don't destroy it. Even if your doctor or hospital sees you, they destroy your medical records in 7 years. They don't have to keep them any longer than that. The government gets to keep everything about you, every little, you know, tidbit that you put in on that questionnaire, which was it, 60 pages? I didn't even go on the website. I didn't even want them to get my IP address. I was too afraid to do it. But they have every iteration about you. This is an information gathering system. You should look up or Google Jade Helm. That's that military exercise that's going on this summer where they're going into various states and communities where the military is not dressed as military, trying to infiltrate the system and see how it works, ostensibly to stop terrorism, whatever. The bottom line is they're going to get this picture of you. Your social media is an imprint. Your selfies are an imprint. If you put anything biometrically anywhere, let's say you have a thumbprint somewhere, that's also on a database. What you write on your, and I mean not to scare people, but you need to know, but maybe you shouldn't put everything you do electronically because it's being gathered. Now you have this Obamacare metadata, and it's a lot of it. Your meds, your social security number, your banking information, ACH debit information, your cell phone number, all these things that can identify you and what your weaknesses are and what your potential weaknesses are, because, you know, they're getting a feel for what you're like, you know, what your likes and what you're going to do. Think of it as Amazon. They know what you're going to buy before you buy it. Imagine the government having that kind of information on you. What's going to piss you off and how to distract you so that you stay docile and silent. Or pick you up. Who knows? I just don't know how it's going to work. But you're no longer anonymous. And the fact that they're keeping this Obama information on file forever, along that NSA database forever, they didn't stop anything. They made this big to-do about stopping my data mining and cell phones, etc. Trust, I doubt they did that. But they can get it easily from your Facebook page, your Twitter, and everything else. That doesn't mean you should stop, but you should be aware that not everything that you have in your mind needs to be put out into the universe because it can come back and be used against you when you least expect it. And maybe some of the things that you say aren't that important that everybody needs to know about. You know, it's about, I think, thinking or going back internally at this point. Everybody's put out every little thing that they think, and it's supposed to be the most important thing, and if it hurts someone's feelings and it's a way to, you know, stop your creativity, all sorts of stuff that's been put out. Now it's time, I believe, take stock of what your choices are, what you need as an individual and a family, not as a group. It's no longer about, to me, about groupthink, because when you groupthink, you screw yourself over. They want you to be part of a herd, to have a group mentality, even if it works against you. They want that. They want you to identify with some victim group that you can distract yourself and constantly run in a circle of I'm a perpetual victim. How can I get mine? Doesn't matter the government's keeping this whole thing stirred up and going. Doesn't matter that the opportunities that we used to have 10, 15, 20 years ago are gone. So even if you are part of a group that's underrepresented or, you know, hasn't had a fair shake, there's no jobs for you to get. What are you going to go to? Work at McDonald's? That's not a job. That's a means to an end. It should not be what you have to support your family on. That's not right. I remember when I was a kid, if I didn't work at McDonald's, I actually did things like work in the health department, test children for lead because I wanted to do medicine. So I did that route. But other friends worked in ice cream shops, worked in McDonald's to get summer money to buy things that they wanted. It wasn't to take care of a family of four. That's not what it was designed to do. So when you talk about income equality, making $15, $20 an hour at McDonald's, all you're doing is pricing whoever was going to buy it out of the market. So when you have less people coming in, you're making $20 an hour sitting on your couch because no one's going to buy your stuff. But again, I think this is another means of collecting money. Just think, those guys who go from $8 an hour to $15 an hour just went into a different tax bracket. You're not getting a tax return. Welcome to my world. You're going to be paying more taxes, taking home less money than you think because you just ended up in a different tax bracket. You just fed the government more of your money while you're thinking about fairness. Think about it. These are all little things that you get into this group think and it works against you. That's a perfect example. I mean, really. All I can tell you guys is that you need to watch, listen, forget about what they say, watch what they do. And if you, I called my congressman, I called my senators, and I gave them a piece of my mind about them voting for the TPP, because both of our senators voted for it. And I was pissed. And I said, I will never vote for you again, ever. And I thanked my congressman who voted against it. It's time for us to let them know that we exist and that we're watching what they do. And we do have power. This is the reason that they, one of the reasons that this thing didn't pass the first time. It was all set to go undercover. Just get passed in the night. Nothing, no one would know anything. It'd be business as usual. And between sessions and, you know, WikiLeaks and all these other things that kind of opened the door on what was in this thing, people started to pay attention. You can no longer expect them in Congress to work in your favor. They don't. They are part of a bigger whole. We need to understand that. We need to pull their coattails. We need to let them know that they're accountable. They will not get back in. That's one thing that they do listen to. I'm not voting for you, ever. I'll work actively to make sure you don't get back in. They're all over you when you say stuff like that, because every vote, even though I'm not sure all of them count, but potentially, they count. And they just want us to just shut up and go away and let them handle it because we're too dumb to do it. I don't believe that. Get in your congressperson's face. You have 1 month now. They're supposed to have voted this thing a second time yesterday, but they put it off because they didn't, again, did not have the votes. They're thinking now they're going to put this into July, end of July, for the next round of this voting. They'll be able to arm twist, coerce, promise, you know, give some freebies to those in Congress. We need to let them know that we're still watching them. They can't get a freebie and get their little pie if they're not in there. They do understand that. So I would double down. If the petitions come to your email box, sign them. Go to the congressperson's email to their number in Washington, their local number, and call them and let them know you need to vote against this. This is against our sovereignty. This is against our freedom as a country. And if you want to get bold, you're a traitor if you do it. You know, there's consequences for actions. Everybody, take personal responsibility. Took me a long time to come to the point where I'm not interested in depending on anybody to handle my business for me. I'm just not. I will make my personal choices. I will treat my patients in a way that I deem appropriate. And nobody, no corporate entity, no government entity is going to step between me and what I know ethically and morally to be right. And if I do, then I'm complicit. I'm helping it. By default, I refuse to do that. I may not come out ahead all the time. I may not be a doctor anymore down the road, but it doesn't mean I'm going to live as a slave in a system against my will. I won't do it. And the more of us that believe that stand up, make that choice, We will break this system. It's not a system that's ever going to survive. It depends on fear, on apathy, on laziness, on you just going along and getting along. Stop doing it. Stop being part of a whole. Be an individual, and one, you'll have some purpose in your life, and two, we'll actually come out and get our country back, I think. So you can go to my webpage, Medicine on Call, on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, at Medicine on Call. In the next couple of, probably the next month and a half, I'll let you know more about the book that when it's available so you can read it. Because it's all about knowledge. Knowledge is power. And I really love my audience. Thank you so much for listening to me. And hopefully you'll be back next week for Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.